This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along. You're listening to the weekly William Hill Golf Podcast. It's Dave Kellner and Mike Grennan with you once again to look ahead to the BMW Masters and the CIMB Classic on the PGA Tour as well. And exciting news, a competition for you to enjoy as well. We're giving away 5 copies of the DVD Sevi. And to find out more about this competition, we've got, myself and Lee Feltz went on location, and the competition will be mentioned at the end of the podcast, and we've got a little jingle, a little clip there, and it's easy enough for you to get involved. So we'll do that at the end of the podcast. But first, Mike, let's reflect on last week. And it was a decent week for the podcast with a couple of places.
Yes, it was, Dave. Yes. Good pick by you, Ken Duke. What price was Ken Duke?
200-1.
200-1 in a top four place. We shared it slightly, didn't we? Because I had Russell Henley that was top four. Yep. How many of four was there at top four?
I think there was four at four,
Four at four. So you get kind of half your odds. But that's a great pick, Duke, because pretty much as you said, he thought he'd contend maybe without winning and a massive prize at 200. So very good pick there, Dave. And Russell Henley, I thought, could have won that, you know.
Yeah, it was a little bit frustrating because
going to win, didn't you?
Going into the weekend, favourite to win the tournament, just didn't quite produce what he'd produced on Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
And I think a little bit disappointing in the end, Russell Henley. But a couple of good selections there in the McGladrey.
Paid for all our bets, but mine did, and yours more than paid for everything you picked, because that's a very good pick. Duke at 200's good effort.
As far as the tournament winner was concerned, Robert Streb getting the better of Will McKenzie and Brendan De Jong to win the McGladrey. Again, the winning score at minus 14. A win that had been coming for Streb as well. Knocked on the door in New Orleans last year. Posted good finishes at the Fry's and the Shriners. He was, in inverted commas, pickable, even though neither of us went for him. He was pickable.
He wasn't for me. It wasn't even close to mine. but fair play to if you nearly thought about him, because I didn't. None of those first few were on my mind, really. Mm. So, other than Henley, obviously, and I'm kicking myself he didn't win. Well, fair play to him. He's got his maiden win.
And in Australia, Torbjörn Olesen, Thunderbear, winning again. Very impressive performance to win the Perth International last week. Quality player, isn't he?
Good player. And I didn't watch a lot of that event, in truth, but no. Olesen's got a lot of ability.
Let's have a look at this week's events then. It's a weird feeling, isn't it? Because you've got a European Tour event in Shanghai. PGA Tour event in Malaysia. I'm looking at the field list, and I'm thinking half the time when I'm away from the form of my research, I'm thinking, which event's he in again? And it does have that sort of feeling, doesn't it, this
Absolutely.
Week?
Absolutely. It's very confusing. You've got people like Chris Kirk playing in the European Tour event. It is confusing. It's a confusing week.
It is indeed. Let's get stuck into it. The BMW Masters first up, and Justin Rose is the 8-1 favourite. Victor Dubuisson, 14-1. Brooks Koepka, Chris Kirk, Jamie Donaldson, Joost Luiten, and Nicholas Coulthard, all 20s. And it's 25s bar. I'm sure it's not us that just thinks this as well, Mike. It must be confusing to the golf punter as well. Mm. This is the European Tour event, and this is the first event in the final series. And we have got a quality field set for the tournament. Maybe a little bit disappointing for the tour and the sponsors that neither Rory McIlroy or Henrik Stenson are attending. But it's still a creditable cast for the first of the four events, which culminates with the DP World Tour Championship at the end of November. And this event became a European Tour event back in 2012, and the number of players was extended to 78. The course, Lake Malaren Golf Club in Shanghai, is a Jack Nicklaus design, par 72, long par 72 as well, measuring 7,607 yards. It will look immaculate, as a lot of the courses in the Far East do. And there are a number of elevation changes here, man-made hazards that will test the golfers. Scoring was more difficult last year than it was back in 2012, and that was That was mainly down to the wind on day one in particular, Mike.
Big factor, isn't it, the wind on this course? But the forecast is not for a lot of wind, I believe.
It might get windy over the weekend, but I think the first 2 days are going to be benign. Greens in regulation, always a pertinent statistic, Mike, I think, when you're looking at Nicklaus designs. And I think you're going to need a length this year as well. The golf course reportedly softer than it has been in the past, and that could be a factor this week. And as you mentioned, if it does get windy, that's also going to be a factor as well.
Yeah, it is. It's a very different test if it's benign, as you say, than if it's windy. So I've done my picks on players who can hit it a fair way, because I think it's going to be benign for the first three rounds probably. And by that stage, you know, you're well in it or you're not. So that's my kind of criteria.
I've got just the one pick here, Mike.
I've got three, Dave. Okay. One of them I've just noticed has been chopped in the last 10 minutes, bizarrely enough. But anyway...
Was he spying on your... on your selections, then?
I don't know, Mark Hadsett. He might have wandered down.
It wouldn't surprise me, the skullduggery that this man sometimes employs, if he's got a webcam in your office, Mike. So make sure you sweep the place when you go back in.
I'm going to have to get the Secret Services in. My first pick, Dave, is an old favourite. I haven't picked for quite a while, but I'm just willing to have a little go at him in this field. Not a huge field, and not absolutely star-studded. So I'm going to give Rafael Cabrera Bello first spin for a while. He was eighth in this event last year when it was kind of windier and tougher. But I'm still hoping that he likes the course. In fact, he was very well placed to win this last year. Had a poor final round of 73 and a couple of others shot by him, so really could have won this. And at 66-1, therefore, I'm just willing to give him a shout. Not the biggest field of the year, as I say. He was 12th on his last outing in Portugal after a fairly moderate run of form. Well, not fairly, I mean moderate run of form up to that place, since a very decent second in the BMW International in the middle of the season there, where he looked like he could win that as well. So, decent form in China earlier this year. In April, he was 8th in the China Open. And so I'm just hoping that he can... build on that successful performance at Portugal. Well, I say successful, he was 12th, but better than what he had been doing, a lot better. Yep. Very good greens in regulation, man, Cabrera Bello. He's 6 on tour for that. Drives it long enough. I think you do need to give it a good whack here, to be fair, if it's playing the way we think it will. I think long hitters are suited a bit, aren't they?
I think definitely. Mm. I think last year might be the anomaly. I know we're only 2 years into the event proper, but I think I'd rather have a look at the 2012 form and say that might stack up.
I agree. I have to admit that the players I picked, two of them didn't particularly do brilliantly that year. For example, Cabrera Bello was 35th in 2012. But he does hit it a good way, decent enough. He needs to putt better. That's no doubt about that. But he's a decent with the flat stick when he gets in the groove. That is his Achilles heel, though, I have to say. So he's my first pick at 66-1. Just struck me as a good each-way price.
I'm going to go with the Frenchman, Romain Wattel, as my one and only pick in this event. 40-1. Take a chance with a Frenchman here. Game is firing on all cylinders at the moment. He's long off the tee, and the rest of his games improved immeasurably as well in recent times. Only one missed cut in his last six starts. That came at the Dunhill Links. That missed cut was sandwiched in between a tied 11th in Italy, tied 5th at the KLM, tied 9th in Wales, last time out tied 4th in the Portugal Masters. So this is a guy in... playing incredibly consistent golf at the moment. Still hasn't shown he can handle being in contention, but I'm a big believer that that sort of thing comes in time, and I think he'll make an impact on this golf course. First time playing here, which is obviously a negative, but given the kind of form he's in at the moment, course should suit him, in my opinion. I like the price. Romain Wattel, my one and only pick here, 40-1. I do like that.
Okay, mate. Yeah, well, that's... going in brave, one pick.
Yeah, just the one pick. There were a few. I'll come to the few that were on my mind at the end.
I'd pick two more, Dave, so I'll run through them quickly. Bernd Wiesberger is my second pick at 40-1. Wiesberger didn't play so well last time out in the Portugal Masters where he missed the cut, but prior to that, or he was about to miss the cut, should I say. I think he only played 36 holes, didn't he, in that event, yeah. But prior to that, a good little run of form was top 15 finishes in Italy, the European Masters at Cron's, the Welsh Open and the Alfred Dunhill. So a really nice, solid piece of form. Following on from that, really good effort in the USPGA where he eventually finished tied 15th, which underestimated or under-reflected possibly his fine effort in that event where he was right in the mix until the final day. Another one will need to putt better, actually, in the Cabrera Bello mould. But, cause that, again, hasn't been his strength in recent months. But when he does putt well, he normally features. So, 13th on tour for greens in regulation. Good long hitter. Maybe not in the top 10 for that kind of category, but certainly can whack it a long enough way for my liking. Has won in Asia, won the Ballantines in Korea a couple of years ago, and was also second in Malaysia in April. Maybe he's in the wrong event, actually. Maybe he should be, should be the other one. But he's certainly good enough, prayer-like, and at 42 in this field, I thought he was worth a go.
Bernd Wiesberger, Mike's second pick. Third pick?
Third pick has been cut this morning. We're recording this at about 11:10, and he was cut at 11:01, which is a bit annoying. Shane Lowry is my third pick here, actually. He was a 33-1 shot. Down into 28th with William Hill now, which is a bit annoying, but there you go. Fifth here 2 years ago, 24th last year, just having a really good run of form in recent weeks and months. A whole raft of top finishers, including second place in the Wentworth BMW PGA, also in Wales. But just good, just littered. His form has been just exceptionally good. Really feel that Lowry is a growing force. He's getting better and better, beginning to believe in himself more, and he puts very well. He's my putter on the team this week, but again he can hit it far enough, not the longest but certainly not the shortest, so I'm hoping he can, if he cuts out some of those. He has a tendency to make mistakes and not to get away with his
mistakes.
I think
he loses concentration sometimes, Lowry. I do. I think
something, he does have a little bounce of two or three bad holes, doesn't he?
Yeah,
I agree with that. That could well be right, dear, but at 28, I don't fancy him as much as I did at 33, because we're getting close to being about the right price there. So that was a little bit annoying to see that, but it's too late to take him out, I guess, so I'll leave him in.
Okay. I had a number of players, mostly towards the top of the betting, on my mind, and that's why I felt it was prudent just to go with the one selection here. I think Victor Dubuisson's going to run very well on this golf course. I think it's going to be... I know he only finished 44th last year, but I think this golf course will suit him. He played really well last week, 14-1 too short, though. I've mentioned how much I like Brooks Koepka, and he's in contention every time he plays at the moment. He's 20-1.
His odds, though, Dave, are two over bet, aren't they? Don't you think it's 20-1? He hasn't won yet.
No, I do think so. And that's why I wouldn't pick him. And Tongchai Zhaidi, I really like at 33-1. He's a previous winner of the Ballantines,
I
think.
And he's in good form.
He is in good form. He only finished 10th in Macau last week, and he closed with a 65 there, so maybe not. It maybe didn't perform the way he would have expected to perform in a tournament of that stature to finish 10th, but I like him at 33-1. I think he's a winner. He finished second here last year. He will enjoy it if it plays tough.
Yes.
If it plays tough, he'll enjoy it.
Yes.
If scoring's as low as it was in 2012, maybe won't suit him as well.
It's about 21 under, wasn't it, that year, didn't it?
It was, yeah.
No Stephen Gallagher.
No Stephen Gallagher this week. Maybe just gone off the boil a little bit. 40-1. Stevie G.
Free lunch bet against
Stevie
him.
G. No, no free lunch bet with him.
Jost Louten, someone who obviously I like, mentioned a lot. Think he could go well this week. Other than that, it's a tricky event, I think, to be fair.
Yeah.
I thought maybe Brandon Grace could be on the upgrade. He's got some form in China in the past, and what about 60-61 is he?
Brandon Grace is 66-1 right there, 66ers.
Mate's good radio. We both stopped to have a look at him.
I'd already moved on. I'd gone. I'd left the event.
Well, Luke, let's go on then. Let's move on.
let's have a look at the CIMB Classic, which is a tournament that's co-sanctioned by the Asian and PGA Tours, an event that was first staged by the Mines Resort and Golf Club in Kuala Lumpur. The first 3 years that venue hosted the event, and we moved to the Kuala Lumpur Golf and Country Club in 2013, and the event last year won by Ryan Moore. Played on the West Course, which is a short par 72, measuring just under 7,000 yards. And it was redesigned by Ted and Jeff Parslow in 2008.
Good old Ted and Jeff.
There you go. I've got to get at least one mention of a course designer in each and every week.
It's a highlight.
It is. The course has also played host to the European Tours Malaysia Open for the past 5 years. And Sergio Garcia, Paul Casey and Lee Westwood have opted to skip the European Tour final series opener to play here, which is interesting, I suppose. It's a golf course where you can get away with it from the tee, and length, not really a factor. I think greens in regulation, crucial this week, Mike.
Yes, yes. You think that length isn't a factor?
Not really. I don't think so. It's a relatively short course, isn't it?
Ryan Moore won last year. I suppose that's a fair call, isn't it? It's hard to equate the European form against these PGA Tour players, isn't it? I've only got one pick in this event. It just flummoxed me slightly.
It is intriguing that those three big names that I mentioned, Garcia, Westwood and Casey, have opted out of the first event of the final series on the European Tour. It still obviously doesn't have the same kind of respect as the FedEx Cup Series.
Well, it doesn't have as much money, that's for sure, does it? And that is a big factor. It's a fair point, Dave, that as we've said before, that there's something not quite right with the European Tour, because they're not turning up for things like this, are they? There is a certain movement towards America, the PGA Tour, understandably, because the prize money is so much better and the competition is so much higher. But it is a problem, let's be clear on that, for the European Tour, that these guys... I mean, Rory might be saying it's his legal case, but I just don't think he wants to play, do you, if we're being honest? I might be being harsh on him there, I don't know. But I'm reading between the lines, I don't know. Maybe it is his legal case, but you're missing a lot of the good players for what should be a marquee event in
the BMW. I agree wholeheartedly. I've just got the one pick as well here. So relatively low key for me from a betting perspective this week. Shall I lead off here?
Yeah, go on.
I'm going with a guy that picked for the Shriners. Ryo Ishikawa is my selection here at 40-1. Obviously didn't pull up any trees at the Shriners. Closed with a pair of 67s over the weekend, though, to finish tied 28th. That came on the back of a 19th at the Friars. Hasn't putted well yet, and if you look at his stats over the last few seasons on the PGA Tour, it is a concern. I think of him as an aggressive putter, a good putter, actually, but his stats not really backing that assertion up. Maybe he's a streaky putter, Ryo Ishikawa. What I liked about his performance at the Friars was his greens in regulation stats. Ranked tied first in that particular statistic that week. Fifth in strokes gained tee to green as well. So if he'd putted better, he would have been in contention. That was definitely an upgrade on the striking that he showed at the Friars, despite him finishing further down the leaderboard. More than happy to chance him on this golf course, which I think... I think should suit him. I like the fact that if he's going to get that win on the PGA Tour, maybe it'll come in Asia. So good opportunity in Malaysia this week at the Kuala Lumpur Golf and Country Club. So I'll go with Ryo Ishikawa at 40-1. Pretty sure he's good. I know we've mentioned this on previous podcasts and he's not shown it yet. I see him stepping up this season, so I'll go with Ishikawa at 40s.
Fair do, Dave. I do agree with you that probably greens in regulation is probably the most leading stat in this event, but the guy I picked isn't great on that, I have to be honest. I've gone for a slight speculative pick, and again, I feel that isn't as deep or as big as usual. But some of the market leaders were definitely pickable. But instead of that, I'm just going to take a little bit of a chance here on JB Holmes, just to outperform his odds as much as anything else. He ended last season in a very good comeback year last year, let's be honest, after he's had a lot of injury problems, surgery, all kinds of things. Won the Wells Fargo and just had a pleasing finish to the year with decent finishes in the Deutsche Bank and the BMW Championship. He can hit it a long way. If he just gets his greens regulation starts up for this week. I just think at 50-1, or he was,
yeah, 50-1.
There is a bit of 66 about, but 50-1 is the current price. I just think in this field he could outperform those odds. I'm kind of looking at Gary Woodland as something of an inspiration to him last year.
Yes,
a long hitting guy who finished second, and whereas Woodland's somewhere in the region of 20s, Holmes is much bigger. I prefer Woodland, in truth, of the two players. Don't get me wrong, but I just think he might be an event that just suits him.
Yeah, 50-1.
Speculative, I admit.
Yeah, 50-1, JB Holmes. I do like that. I had a number on my mind here, but none that justified selection, really. I think Jonas Blix could play well.
Yeah, I'd him down as well. For
yeah,
me,
if, yeah. I think he's definitely enigmatic, Jonas Blix, and the players have commented in the past that he's not the best ball striker on tour, but when you have a good ball striking week, you know he's going to put well. Mm. He's 66-1,
yeah.
Jonas Blix. Finished 25th on debut here last time out. You know what? A lovely Westwood for this event as well.
He won it, didn't he?
Oh, he blitzed the field. That was back in April. Won by 7 shots. His form in Asia is incredible. It really is.
You could see that. 14-1, though,
14-1. It's just a little bit too short. He's been ducked by Marquardt, said definitely. Another Englishman on my mind, Paul Casey.
Yeah.
Who went out of the match play but played really well in the event. He's 25, a little bit too short again. And Stuart Sink is going to, at some point, put 4 rounds together because he is shooting some low numbers at the moment,
Stuart Sink. He was 11th here last year, actually, when he wasn't playing as well. So he was all Blix, and you mentioned my two outsiders. Blix and Sink were on my mind a little bit. You know, the market leaders are strong here. They're all greens in regulation players, and you could pick any of them, really. I just didn't feel there was a lot of value in doing it, but Garcia, Schwartzel, Matsuyama, Westwood, Horschel and Woodland all either have great current or course form, or it's hard to argue against any of them, but they're not massive prices.
Yeah, I think the one man there that could be a shorter price at the top of the betting, justifiably so, is Billy Horschel.
Yeah.
At 16-1, given that he finished second in one of the FedEx Cup Series events, then won two of them
yep.
to close out. I know he missed his cut at the Shriners, but was 11th here last year, and is a much better player now. I think he's the one at the top of the betting that you could say justifiably he could be favourite for the event, couldn't he? Really?
What, ahead of Sergio?
Yeah, he could be. He could be, given the way he blitz fields at those two.
Yeah.
Big events at the end of the season.
I agree with you, Dave. He's probably the best price of those ones, isn't he, at the top end of the market. Yeah, I wouldn't probably disagree with that. I think they've all got big chances. Even down to Ryan Moore, you know, and that's how many, about 10 players. The top 10 in the market are strong. It's not an amazingly deep field, and they all tick the right boxes, so to speak. So you could pick any of them, but I just thought it'd be a little bit out from left field and go for a little bit of a curveball with... God, I'm getting the cliches.
It's the baseball podcast.
It is. JB Holmes, my out of left field curveball pick.
50-1.
Yeah, he's actually,
Holmes.
I was hoping for a little bit more than 50s, but there you go.
Yeah, my reservation with both my selections this week are that I always often feel that these events in the Far East, when they are co-sanctioned, they're dominated by players towards the head of the betting. I do get that feeling.
Yeah, they often are, aren't they? Yeah, absolutely. The favourites often win these. So it seems. Anyway, I have no stats to back that up. The weather's going to be a bit mixed, isn't it? I don't like that either.
And you know, that's why I have a tendency to just reduce picks in these sort of events, especially the one in Shanghai. If the wind does get up, it'll be a completely different tournament.
But
when we're talking about this on Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, but for that reason, I've only had 3 picks in that and 1 in this. I'm going to keep a little bit back just in case I might have a Twitter bet here or there. So, see how we go.
Thank you, Mr. Grenham. Have we got a free lunch bet this week? I'd be willing to take Vettel against either Wiesberger or Lowry.
Lowry.
Okay. We'll do that deal. Both pretty consistent recently.
Are we level at the moment? In other words, I bought all of yours. Yeah.
You could have had a winner last week.
Could I?
Henley versus Todd, but...
I turned it down.
Turned it down. Oh, well. Turned it down.
Lowry against Vettel. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that seems like a fair one. Lowry versus Vettel this week. Let's recap the picks and then you can listen to this competition question. Well worth it as well, because...
Just for the sake of consistency, what about the player you don't want to win?
Okay, the player I don't want to win...
If you don't keep to the running order,
you know what? Stuart Sink, I think, in the CIMB Classic, 66-1, because I still think there's a lot of talent there, and he's going to pop up. He's playing good golf.
Yeah, Gary Woodland possibly, maybe for me, and in the European stroke, wherever it is. Brandon Grace could run well at a big price. He's coming back, I think.
Mm. So, we didn't mention Mark Wilson as well, a guy that you mentioned last week.
I nearly
slipped him in. I had a couple of things
that I didn't... That, well, I mentioned him on the podcast, didn't tip him, but he finished seventh and he finished a shot out of the place. So I backed him a little bit each way, but he finished seventh.
Oh, wow.
One shot.
That's for sure.
And he was huge odds, let me tell you. And
he must have made a late bogey, did he? Somewhere along the line.
He did. And in the seniors, I tweeted that I fancied Bernard Langer on the Saturday morning each way, and he finished a shot out of a place at 33-1. So all in all, and I didn't have a lot on Henley each way. It was a bit of a frustrating end to the week. I was in mainly win on him, but we're getting runs for our money, aren't we? So,
oh, definitely.
And a little bit of a return, and certainly the Duke bet would have paid for everyone's.
Yes,
bets if they did him.
Definitely. Let's recap the picks then, Mike. Just a couple for me. In the BMW Masters, going with Romain Vettel, 40-1, point each way.
Yeah, I'm going for Rafa Cabrera-Bello at 66, Bernd Wiesberger at 40s, and Shane Lowry at now 28s. What am I having on those? I'll have a point each way on the top two, and I'll make a point each way on all of them, and the same on JB Holmes in the event, CIMB event.
Yeah, I'm going with Ryo Ishikawa, point each way, 40-1 in the CIMB Classic. Seve then, folks. Fantastic prize to give away. 5 of these DVDs to give away, and it's all in this clip coming up. Details all encompassing in this clip. So thank you, Mr. Grenham. And thanks to you for listening right now. Make sure you get involved in this competition we've got. You've got until Sunday. Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast. And myself and Mike will be back next week. Speak soon.
So here we are. We're on the golf course. Myself, Lee Phelps, and Dave Kellner. Say hello, Dave.
Hello, Lee.
Dave's going to hit the ball off the tee with a golf club that will remain a mystery.
Yes.
So no clues.
Yep.
If you guess the exact yardage of this shot, you're in with a chance of winning one of a few copies of Seve, the movie. Very good film. I've watched it. Excellent. One of the greatest golfers of all time, DK.
Obviously.
Superb. Great movie. One for all golf fans and all sports fans. We've got copies to give away free here, courtesy of the William Hill Golf Podcast and In Play Radio. So just give us a little idea. How good are you at golf, first of all?
Pretty poor. On a normal municipal golf course, there's some bad golf courses in Wakefield. There's some half decent golf.
You're giving clues as to where you play here.
Giving a few clues. I'd say I'd usually shoot around about 90-95, so maybe a 20 handicapper,
okay,
something like that.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah. So that's sort of standardly.
Right. The ball's on the tee. You get yourself sorted out. I'm just going to go stand back a little bit because I'm a bit concerned about being hit. So
I've never let go of the golf club before.
Right, okay, right.
You're firing up that, though.
I'll set the scene here. DK's taking a couple of little half swings in front of that there, just sorting his stance out. He's got a pretty good stance, actually, getting himself sorted here. In your own time, DK, and I'll hold the mic relatively close so we can hear the swing. Nice! That's decent, actually. I thought you were going to skew it over there somewhere into that water.
Relative, there's a lot of pressure on me there because I've never had, like, the millions of listeners out there just waiting for that goal swing. I felt a little bit nervous. Knees were shaking a little bit. I thought of Seve when I hit that.
Right.
And I thought,
nice.
I mean, this guy's a Ryder Cup stalwart before Ian Poulter took that mantle. I thought, I've got to give it a good go here. Let's at least get one off the ground. Relatively happy with that one.
It's just come down. We're going to go measure it and we want you to guess the yardage of the shot that DK has just hit off the tee there. Get your answers in. Email only to inplayradio@williamhill.co.uk. Whether you're a golf podcast listener or an In Play Radio listener, email only. We want the yardage your name sent to inplayradio@williamhill.co.uk. You've got until Sunday the 2nd of November to get your answers in, and you may well be one of the lucky winners. If it's not spot on, DK, we'll say, what, the five closest?
Yeah, that's fine by
five
me.
Five copies to give away.
Can I give any clues out as to what club I've used whatsoever?
No, I wouldn't.
No clues whatsoever?
I wouldn't.
I am poor with the driver. That's all I'll say. I'm poor with the driver.
And I'll say, it wasn't one of those little pink plastic ones that kids use either. It was a proper golf club. DK, thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.